If you want to learn something about God, shut your mouth and listen to me for a minute.
Many, many children healed. We've seen midgets grow. We've seen arms and legs that stop growing because the growth cells have stopped. Mandadabasata. I don't make this stuff up.
Behold the atheist's nightmare.
That's the power of the Holy Ghost.
Why do they teach every other theory in science except creation?
Warlocks are enemies of God.
No one's ever going to convince me that the word of God is not true.
You know, if you put Jesus Christ first, that he'll look after all your bills.
And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal.
And if you want to tell me how to live my life, it better line up with the word of God or shut your mouth.
I'm loaded. I'm pregnant with miracles.
What do you believe?
Send us the cash.
Welcome to the Bible Dumb Podcast. I am your host, Davey Hell.
And I'm Jesse Hell.
And this is the podcast where two atheists read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And we are in the middle of Numbers.
Yay.
So we were just talking, and it seems like last time we read about Rebellion of Korah.
I do not remember a Korah. I feel like I'd remember that, too, because that was one of the girls' names in Last Mohicans.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good movie. I'm skimming as fast as I can. I should have edited this one today, but I edited the previous one.
Oh, that's good. We have a couple extra.
We have one extra. We have one coming out tomorrow, and then one a week from tomorrow.
That's good. Did we miss last week?
Yeah, we missed last week.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair.
We had some drama
in the Hell House.
God was mad at us.
Yes, God smote us pretty good.
Yeah, God's pretty good.
I don't know. If you want to know what happened last time, go back and listen to it.
Don't remember, don't care.
Whoever Korah was had a rebellion. Oh, yeah. That's the dude that was complaining. And the earth opened up and swallowed him.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's Korah, though?
I don't know. That's the person that was... Chapter 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying... That's how, like, every chapter begins.
Mm-hmm.
Speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod, according to the house of their fathers, and all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmuring of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you.
So he's going to have a lottery. Everybody writes their name on a rod.
Okay.
And then he's going to draw a rod, and whoever's rod gets chosen, he's going to bless them.
The word rod here is just weird.
Everybody grab your rod. Did I ever tell you about first time I got my first memory?
No. Yes.
Yes. We want to do a story time? There's nothing
sure.
to do with religion.
It's funny.
Okay. All right, so one of the first memories I have is being real little, and we were having like Indian guides at our house. So all like the kids in the neighborhood or in the city that had joined Indian Guides, which was like Boy Scouts, but for, I guess, even younger kids, where basically you go camping.
It was the 80s, so
yeah.
That was appropriate.
So basically, you just dress up like Native Americans and do fake Native American rituals and stuff, and it's supposed to be just like a bonding experience with your dad. So we would have meetings every now and again. And I was too young for even that. But my brother was in it. So when we had it at our house, I got to kind of participate. And so we were all in the backyard and we were playing, what's the game?
Simeon Says.
We'll make it biblical. And
do you think they do that? I bet they do that.
Oh, I bet they do. It totally sounds like a youth group activity. And, you know, my dad has a very, I don't know what you call it. He just has a big sense of humor. Like, everything's a joke. And so I thought, oh, I have a great idea. When I get to be Simon, I'm going to do my idea, and everybody's going to laugh. They're going to pat me on the back, and they're going to tell me how great I am. And so I got to be Simon eventually, and I went up to the front, and it's like my big moment, and I'm just like, my time to shine. I'm just like ready for this moment, and I'm like, Simon says, everybody touch your rod. Except I didn't say rod. And my dad got so mad. I was so caught off guard. I could not believe the fury. It was like God getting mad at the Israelites. He grabbed me by the arm, dragged me into the house. Let's sit in my room. Be in trouble for telling people to touch their rod. I just couldn't believe it.
Oh my gosh.
That's my rod story. All right. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece.
Come around.
Come the other way, Prim.
Prim. She's sitting on the rod.
And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's house, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. Whose rod do you think is going to get chosen?
Aaron.
Of course it's going to be Aaron's rod. So stupid. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded. And
Surprise.
Brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. What do you know? Oh my gosh. I thought it was going to be Dan's rod.
This is such a scam.
This is crazy.
So much favoritism here.
And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel. And they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses,
bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not.
And Moses did so. As the Lord commanded him, so did he. Yeah, that'll keep them from rebelling.
Sure.
Your stupid magic trick. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? That's the end of the chapter. What are they so worried about? Well, I guess there was a plague last time.
Oh, yeah.
So they're probably...
Somebody got swallowed whole by the earth.
Yeah, that's true. I think they're pretty traumatized.
Probably. God's put them through a lot.
Yeah. More than the Egyptians, it seems.
Definitely.
Chapter 18.
Did the Egyptians even really do anything bad to them?
Yeah, they said they started treating them real bad after, oh my God, what's his name? Who had the multicolored dream coat?
Joseph.
Yeah, after Joseph. Remember, they loved Joseph, and they treated him like a king, and he was awesome. But then after he died, they forgot all about him, and they started treating the Israelites bad again.
Yeah.
And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee. And the Lord said unto Aaron,
Thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. And thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee, and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. And they shall keep thy charge, and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, and neither they nor ye also die. And they shall be joined unto thee, and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, for all the service of the tabernacle, and a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. And ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren the Levites from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord, to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation.
This is what cults do.
What?
They're just like, God said that me and all my kids forever will always be in charge of everything.
Yeah.
So you have to honor us for always.
True.
This is what God told me.
Yeah. But, like, he already told them this.
I know. I don't know why we're doing all this again.
We're doing it again.
Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings, and all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee I have given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance for ever. This shall be thine of the most holy things reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons.
Yeah, so just big confirmation that all of those tasty, savory treats being sacrificed all go to Aaron and his family,
mm-hmm.
and his sons and the Levites.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that already, but we're getting confirmation from God that yes, this is favoritism.
Yes. He's just like, I just want to make sure nobody forgets.
Yeah.
I get all the stuff.
Yeah. And don't come near or you die.
In the most holy place thou shalt eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee.
But not the women.
Oh my gosh.
Just the men.
And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons and to thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. All the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine and the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee.
So I cannot believe anybody's just cool with this. But could we get a notary here to verify that this is God's?
I love how he's just like really rubbing it in, or he's just like, it's the very best of everything. The best wine, the best
the DOC
food.
Wine.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Every one that is clean in thine house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Everything that openeth the matrix and all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beasts, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beasts shalt thou redeem. and those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem, according to thine estimation, for the money of 5 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs, put the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shalt burn their fat for an offering made by fire, for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the flesh of them shall be thine, as the wave breast, and as the right shoulder are thine. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord I have given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee.
Gets all the stuff. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no... Oh, God. And the Lord spake unto Aaron,
thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their severance, which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation.
This was when the invention of eye rolling happened. You just know everybody's sitting in their little pews getting told this, and they're just like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Not only do they get the offerings, but they get the tenth, too, which was the basically their money that they have to donate.
It's just so fake.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron definitely told Moses to write all this.
Oh, you think Aaron told Moses?
I definitely think. I've had this thought for a while. I think Aaron is the ringleader.
Mm. Taking advantage of his uncircumcised lips?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Aaron's a little slow, or Moses is a little slow.
Yeah, you've had the theory that Moses is slow for a long time.
And Aaron is like, no, bro, you got to do this.
Yeah, there's a common trope in fiction of the magic R word. The mentally handicapped person who... Stephen King does it all the time.
It's Worm Tongue. Aaron is Worm Tongue.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's different, but...
Yeah, that's different, but...
Yeah, usually in Stephen King stories, it's a hero. That they're, like, saving the day. They go to the handicapped person who you wouldn't expect to be of any use, and they have some magic power that totally turns things around, so your kindness to that person turns out to be good. No, that's not what's happening here. Aaron is just Worm Tongue.
He's
like telling Moses, who's the leader,
go tell him to give me all their things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or they will die.
Exactly. Oh, speaking of Stephen King, I was reading,
Holly?
Holly.
Yeah.
And in there, somebody mentioned, was it Isaiah who gave his porridge to, or who gave all of his inheritance to his younger brother for a bowl of porridge?
It was Jacob and his brother Ishmael.
Ishmael. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
I think that's right.
Something along the line of, and just as Ishmael sold all of his birthright for a bowl of porridge.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know that. I was really excited.
I had one of those too this week. So I got a new car and it has Sirius satellite radio. So I was listening to XMU, like the indie station, and Vampire Weekend came on, that song Hey Ya or Ya Hey. You know the one I'm talking about?
I think so.
It's real popular. But there's a line in there that made me think I kind of figured out what the song's about. It says, through the fire and through the flames, you won't even speak your name. And then later on in the verse, it says something like, you only say, that which I am, or something like that. And that's from the Bible, remember? When Moses was first speaking to God, and he's like, "What's your name, dude?" And God's like, "You can't say my name. My name is holy. I am that I am."
Oh.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I think that's an atheist anthem.
Oh, okay.
Because it's very kind of, I don't know, dismissive in the song. He's like, "Through the fire and through the flames, you won't even speak your name."
Oh.
And he's like, "Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey." Which sounds a lot like Yahweh, but he's saying Yah-hey.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's my theory.
Nice, Davis.
This is my Bible connection. Cool.
Very cool.
That whole explanation of why I'm listening to satellite radio was like a justification of why I'm listening to Vampire Weekend. I like Vampire Weekend. I'm not going to be ashamed anymore. Come at me, bro.
"Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance." And the Lord...
So I guess they can't, like, pass on wealth to their children? Is that what it means by, like, they shall have no inheritance? Like, I don't really get it.
I don't know. I don't know, because he just said that this will be yours and then your children's for forever.
I guess.
Wait, who is he talking about here?
Talking to Aaron.
So that doesn't make sense.
I think it's basically saying, like, you have to stay here and work and be priests for the church. That's your duty.
Mm.
So you can't, like, go out and make a bunch of wealth, like selling goats or whatever.
Oh. Like, that's
convenient. You just have to just sit here and do the tabernacle and get all, everybody else has to take care of you.
What a shame.
Yeah.
That would suck, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't that just be awful to not be able to go out and get a job?
I guess.
Not.
No job. Well, I mean, they gotta, like, put the curtains up every day.
I
or
could
every
do that.
Time the cloud comes down.
I could do that. That's easy.
I don't know. Sometimes I'd rather just go to work than do housework.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
But that's... no, this is definitely like, no, y'all just got to take care of us forever.
Yeah.
Y'all do all the stuff.
God said, "I can't get a job. I can't get a job.
I got this fucking tabernacle. I got all this stuff to do in this tabernacle. You can't come look at it now. No.
No, but could you bring me some olive oil, please?"
Yeah. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you, as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye also shall offer a heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes which ye receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the winepress. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And ye shall bear no sin by reason of it, when ye have heaved it from the best of it. Neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die."
That ending is dramatic.
Yeah.
One, did you notice, like, a couple of God speaks ago that he spoke unto Aaron?
Yeah.
Was that the first time he's ever done that?
Maybe.
Do you think that was a mistake?
It might have been. Yeah, I don't. I thought he was only supposed to speak to Moses, and Moses told Aaron, and then Aaron told everybody else. That's the pattern we've been going with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Good catch. And also, it's been driving me crazy. It's not Ishmael. Ishmael was the wild man.
Oh, yeah.
This is hairy guy. Jacob and Esau. Oh, nailed it. That was going to drive me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I got it.
Me too.
Cool.
I didn't even think of it. Interesting. Okay.
All right. Chapter 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying,
This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without a spot, wherein there is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, and he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood, with her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet, and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and she shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in the water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up without the camp, in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even, and it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute for ever. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself on the 3rd day, then the 7th day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead, and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days.
All right, so quarantine. Sure.
Yeah, more quarantine shit.
What is all this drama about the stranger?
I guess basically when they have guests over, they have to follow their rules.
The guests still have to follow the rules?
Yeah, okay. Well, some of them.
It's just weird. He keeps saying that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's like thousands of people, so it makes sense that like they're going to have people coming through their lands.
Yeah, sure.
They're going to have to travel around and interact with others.
It's just weird that they keep addressing it.
Yeah.
And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. And whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person they shall take of the ashes of their burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop, and dip it in the water, and sprinkle it upon the tent, and upon all the vessels, and upon the persons that were there. And upon him that toucheth a bone, or one slain, or one dead, or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day. And on the 7th day he shall purify himself, and wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water. and shall be clean at even. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself. No. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, that he that sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he that toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until even. And whatsoever the unclean person toucheth shall be unclean, and the soul that toucheth it shall be unclean until even.
We already did all this.
I know, we did it all already. Like, we had a good thing going with some story, and then it all came, like, grinding to a halt. All right, well, we got one more chapter to read, so we'll see if anything happens.
Of Numbers, and we're done?
No. Of this episode.
Oh.
Till I can't read anymore. I only have about, like, 45 minutes to an hour of reading the Bible in me each day. Take a little bit at a time. Chapter 20. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Aw, Miriam.
Who's Miriam?
Miriam was the lady who got mad whenever, I think it might be Aaron's wife. But anyway, she got mad whenever Moses married the Ethiopian woman.
Oh, yeah.
And started complaining about it. And so then God gave her a plague. But then Aaron came to Moses and said, yo, bro.
That's my wife.
Yeah. So she got better. But now she's dead.
I have no connection to her, so that's fine. I have no feelings at all.
Tragedy. This is like when Boromir died. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Here they go again, complaining again.
Uh-oh.
It's because they don't have water to drink.
They don't have all the good food.
And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them.
Oh no, he's going to be so angry.
He's going to be swallowing up people with the ground, burning people, laying down plagues.
He's going to set them on fire.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink.
I'm going to kill him. He's going to give them water out of a rock.
He's like, oh, geez, fine. Just give them some damn water so they'll shut the hell up.
And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now ye...
Wait, do you think that Aaron is just like in the tabernacle peeking out behind the curtains with yeah. all the angry villagers? Like, oh shit, we got to give him something.
Yeah.
Just give him some damn water.
Yeah. Yeah, he's feeling nervous for sure.
Oh yeah.
So Moses says, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Do you think, so did he dam this stream with a big rock and then came over and moved it?
Maybe.
I mean, that seems like that seems too obvious of a scam, of a magic trick to see through.
Yeah. Maybe he just, maybe it was like already naturally damned, you know? And he just knew that if he...
I mean, I guess, but I couldn't you just like walk on the other side of the rock and then drink the water from there?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think this is just made up.
Probably.
I can't find any like, I wonder if this happened.
Like, because they already got mad once, so they're just, I guess, assuming they got mad again.
Yeah. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron.
Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them.
Did he just say what I think he said?
That he's mad at them and they can't go?
Like, here is the water, but psych, you didn't believe in me, so you can't actually have any of it?
No, he says that you can't bring them into the land I have given them, which I'm guessing is Canaan.
Okay, so they can just stay there and drink that water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, since you don't believe in me, you can just have this stupid water, but you don't get all the land of milk and honey that I promised.
Mm.
That's what it seems like.
This is such an abusive relationship.
Yeah. It's definitely manipulative. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh into the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders.
Yeah, this the king's highway.
Yeah.
Do they have king's highway in this time?
Egypt is,
I guess,
got to be,
yeah,
like a really like sophisticated nation.
Maybe.
And they're going through a different kingdom now.
This feels like it was written in the medieval times. I guess they had the Bible before the medieval times, didn't they?
Yeah, medieval times is way later.
Okay, yeah.
That's like after Rome. This is just way before that.
This just feels way too modern speak, you know?
I guess so. I mean, it's King James is writing it in the medieval times. So we got the King James version of the Bible.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's rewriting it in medieval parlance. But yeah, I guess there were kings and travel ways, and
I guess so.
They're going to pass right through the middle of the city. They're not going to turn right or left. They're not going to eat their grapes or go through their fields or drink from their wells. That's what he says.
Stay out of Farmer Maggot's fields.
Yeah. Well, let's see what King Edom says. And Edom said unto them, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. He says, nope, you cannot pass through my country, or we will kill you. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor.
Nice.
H-O-R. All right, so Edom said, hell no. Okay. Get the hell away.
Have we seen this King Edom before?
I do not remember. Okay. It would not have been, like, it'd be at the beginning of Exodus if we did.
I mean, I don't blame him. It's like, no, you're not going to come through my lands. I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Get out of here. I got to protect my people. Yeah.
I guess so. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor.
See, the... he's speaking to Aaron now all the time.
All the time.
This is new.
Yeah. It's definitely a new development. By the coast of the land of Edom, saying,
Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there.
Whoa.
Aaron's not in charge. Aaron's getting left on a mountain to die. Man. Moses is the boss, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's the godfather.
Mm-hmm. This is like, this is exciting.
Yeah.
This is like the cliffhanger, you know, where you think the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, this
that was in charge. Now he's suddenly not in charge. This is fantastic.
This is the usual suspects moment where you find out who the like guy mm-hmm. pretending to be stupid and mush mouthed turns out to be like a evil genius and stabs his brother in the back.
I was tricked. Okay.
Yeah, he tricked you. You're like, yeah, he's so stupid and simple. Nope.
Dang. Okay.
He like just stops limping and.
Suddenly can speak clearly.
Yep.
Oh, man, he got me.
And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into the mount, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And
wait, what do you think Moses' last words to Aaron was? I told you not to fuck with me.
Yeah, don't talk with me, you little bitch. And start stabbing him. Yeah.
For sure.
It's like, no, it's, what is, he says like, Fredo, you were my brother. What is he saying, Godfather?
Oh, I don't know.
Damn it. That would have been a good pull.
Never seen the thing all the way through.
That's pretty good. Gotta say, it's pretty good. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel.
Oh.
Wow. That's big.
Big news.
Yeah.
Big developments here in the book of Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've lost Aaron.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to outlive Moses.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've never heard of Aaron prior to reading the Bible.
I hadn't either. I didn't, like, I was pretty surprised.
I'd heard of Moses. But no, Aaron was in a lot of this, and uh-huh. I'd never heard of him.
Never knew it was a biblical name.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, so as I close the Bible and look again upon watercolor Jesus, I'm reminded of poor Aaron.
Poor Aaron.
Being stripped naked and stabbed on the mountain.
This is unbelievable.
I don't know if he was stabbed, but he's left to die up there for sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, no, he's definitely killed. He wasn't just left there because everybody saw that he was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's definitely, right. Moses definitely killed him. It was totally a Godfather moment.
I bet he poisoned him.
Hmm. He fed him manna until it came out of his nose.
Unbelievable. I'm shocked.
We are shook.
This was pretty good.
Yeah, not
this
bad.
I could have done without a lot of the stuff.
Where he tells them that they have to be priests again.
Yeah. I could have done with all that.
It's repetition. But no, Numbers is better than Leviticus for sure. We're definitely, stuff is happening. We're moving.
I do agree with you that they misedited, dropped some papers, mixed some things up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I agree that they did that. There's definitely a lot of things in here that are just repeats. Written by different people, for sure.
Yes.
There's multiple authors here, and everybody, maybe they had like a meeting, and people weren't reading each other's stuff, and so everybody's putting their own part in. I don't know what happened.
I don't know, but I'm glad to be back to, like, a storyteller.
Does God speak this much in the Part 2 Testament?
In the New Testament?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it's all Jesus.
Okay.
I think it's Jesus saying, he's playing the Moses part, saying, my father told me this, my father told me that.
Does Moses tell the whole first part?
No. Moses only goes up until Deuteronomy, which is after Numbers.
Oh, so here pretty soon we're going to get a whole new
pretty
cast
soon,
of
no
characters.
More Moses. Yeah, we're going to get a whole new thing. We're going to learn more about,
man.
I think, geopolitics and like the different kings of Judea.
Okay. That doesn't sound very good, but...
Oh, there's lots of good stories. Lots of good stuff.
All right.
I say that having not read them. All right, everybody, stay dumb.
Stay dumb.